OOB.com. Don't forget that code, OOB.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. I think Garrick McLean will be calling us in a little bit. Let me get to Zeke. Zeke, how are you?
Hey, what's up, Walt? Sorry about that. I got disconnected, partner.
It's all good, Zeke.
Walt, I called in about a week ago. I know you remember the phone call. I wanted to tell you I'm a little disappointed. I'm disappointed that Larry Fedora would use a hurricane to get out of this game against Central Florida. I mean, this man will do nothing to get out of keeping that job. So, yeah. It's bad enough I got a hurricane, but now I got Larry Fedora not getting a double nickel to three games. So, because I figured that might be his worst beatdown of the year.
Yeah, I wrote earlier on Twitter, Zeke, that UNC had asked UCF if their game could be rescheduled for the 12th of never.
Well, let me tell you what, Walt. You know, Yeah, I did the 12th of never. Let me tell you something. I wanted that game. I wanted that game badly, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, you did.
But you know
what? You did.
Thank you. You know I did. That was my double nickel to three game to embarrass him a bit further in front of the 600 fans that would have shown up.
Yeah.
But you know what? The truth was, we found out why they canceled that game. They talked about the hurricane, but the real reason was once they gave Central Florida an out, that Central Florida knew what that would do to their overall, that strength of schedule, playing North Carolina.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too.
Open date was better for them.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too, that it may be better for Central Florida not to play that game so that, you know, originally they thought that, you know, if you mattered, that would help them and it would be a major conference opponent, but now they're a little concerned that it would damage their credibility.
Oh, there's no doubt it would damage their credibility. I think it was a win for Central Florida not to have to travel here to go down in that strength of schedule. It was definitely a win for Larry Fedora. The only one that loses in that are fans like me who wanted to see that beatdown after that East Carolina beatdown. I thought Walt, it may have been more like 67-3 if you know East Carolina can drop 41 on them.
Yeah, no, it would. You did not want to see Mackenzie Milton. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah. When I say you, I mean North Carolina. I understand you have a different goal in mind. But I think we're already at that. I'm pretty sure we're at that goal, right?
Yeah.
Because when the season began, this is what I said about you guys. I said, if you lose those first two games, 1-11 is in play. And I thought that it was conceivable you would lose those first two games. I didn't think you would because both California and East Carolina suck, but you actually accomplished it. You lost both games, and now you look like a 1-11 football team.
And, well, that's still debatable. Western Carolina is pretty solid up there. That's not a guarantee that one win happens. But here's the deal is, if you're thinking big picture like I do with Carolina, you couldn't be happier as a fan. Because I really believe the East Carolina game really, Walt, is what we needed for the finally them to say that's it. Enough's enough. When this season happens, what we'll be talking about, Walt, in this season, we'll be talking about who. Not if, not when. We'll be talking about who, and do they finally decide to pay a coach? Because you and I both have agreed that school should win 7-8 games every single year, go to a bowl game every year. It's a weaker side coastal conference. It's a state school, plenty of money. The NCAA always looks the other way for that university. We know that. So there's no excuse that they should win 7-8, sometimes 9 games. So you know what? Just go out, fire this guy, get the right coach. I was looking forward to how bad it might be.
Have you lost three straight games to East Carolina now?
No, Walt, we've been abused by East Carolina.
I know you were abused by them, but Did you beat them somewhere in there that I'm forgetting off the top of my head?
Three straight losses to East Carolina.
And you've and in those three games, you've surrendered, I guess, about 160 or 70 points.
162.
Okay, so you actually know the number. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I knew it was something like that.
They haven't beaten, in the last eight opportunities, they've lost to Duke, East Carolina, and North Carolina State. On top of that, this man only
Wait a minute. You're telling me you're 0-8 in the last eight games against East Carolina, Duke, and NC State?
That is correct. That is correct.
And you're going to let him coach to the end of the year?
Well, no, I wouldn't. Again, he wouldn't. I mean, listen, and not if I were the AD, he wouldn't. But then again, he's lucky we haven't played Wake Forest. You know, because it would only be worse. So he caught a break with that, you know. And as a matter of fact, he ought to thank his lucky prayers that Appalachian State's not rolling into Chapel Hill.
Listen, with North Carolina A&T already having beaten East Carolina, you are the worst team in the state, hands down.
Well, that will be debatable until we play Western Carolina.
That's fair.
That will be the bowl for who is the worst. But seriously, I mean, yeah, you're right, because App State already proved they can hang with the legit team.
So, you want no part of App State. You want no part of North Carolina A&T.
Well, of course not.
They beat East Carolina.
Listen, we're talking about a program that in the second half against East Carolina, Walt, was shut out. Shut out. That's what that offense did. So it's a train wreck. It's headed for a wall. I'm just disappointed Central Florida, seriously, couldn't come and give more of a beatdown. So I'm going to ask you one question. I'm going to hang up and listen. I know it's early, but I still would like to know, in your thought, if you had to say two or three names off the top of your head, that if you were the AD, you'd make the first two or three phone calls to, who would those guys be? And I'm just going to hang up and listen. Thanks, Walt.
You know, again, frequently when teams make changes, they go in opposite directions. I think one fairly obvious possibility would be Scott Satterfield from App State. I think that's one possibility. I think Seth Luttrell for North Texas, who's really done a nice job building that program, although the North Carolina Brain Trust might think he's a little too similar to Larry Fedora in the reputation of being an offensive mind. Of course, Luttrell was at North Carolina as OC, which is another reason I bring him up. I think that Brent Venables is a possibility. I know that would stun people, but it's the other side of the league. It's in the area. It's a defensive guy after an offensive guy, and it's a guy who can recruit. Robbie says here in that the AD at UNC will first target a P5 DC first. Well, there's one of them.
Yeah, I think Brent Venables qualifies.
Yeah, there's one of them. And Robbie also wrote me that, where to go? I think he wrote that North Carolina has lost 12 of their last 14 P5 games. Is that?
That sounds right.
You know, I mean, the North Carolina program, again, actually Robbie just wrote, had just written me maybe a Venables. So that was right after we said it. Or Dave Aranda, he writes. Yeah, I mean, I think those are possible names. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I think that the guy you might go after first would be Venables for a whole assortment of reasons. And is that a move that Brent Venables could make? I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out. I would not rule it out. I mean, look, these guys eventually going to be head coaches, and it's just a matter of the right opportunity, the right fit, that type of thing. But when you're in North Carolina and you have been the worst run defense in your league for five consecutive years. John Dewey says Schwalt. That's funny. Schwalt. When you've been the worst run defense in your league for five consecutive years,
right?
You almost have to think that you have to look at somebody who can stop the run.
Anybody who can at least put a dent in the run.
Yeah. Texas says Charlie Strong. Yeah, it's possible. You know, I think the question with Charlie Strong is, I think he feels like he was burnt in Texas, and is he going to be real anxious to go try that again, or does he just have something going now in South Florida that's worth sticking to? And he might. He might. So I could see any of that. But look, on my hot seat list before the season, the guy who was on the nuclear hot seat for me was him. I've said that a million times. He was not on, you know, again, Dennis Dodd had him listed as, a medium hot guy. Not for me. He was number one on my list. I thought that he was dead man walking.
Oh, yeah.
I knew he was going to have a terrible season last year. The North Carolina people all thought I was crazy. He did. And now he's off to an even worse start. I mean, look, you can't. You're the coach at North Carolina. You can't lose to East Carolina three times in a row and do so by giving up 54 points per game.
That's a lot.
54 points per game and losing to East Carolina in three consecutive seasons. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. But they're also not just losing to them. They can't beat Duke. They can't beat NC State. They're not beating anybody that they need to beat. And I'll tell you something else. They don't like him. I mean, that's what I've been told. I've been told they don't like him. That no one really finds his act funny or humorous. And remember, he also, at ACC Media Days, basically posterized himself with the things he said about concussions and head injuries. And, you know, so I think they're pretty anxious to get rid of him. The question is, will they wait till the end of the year? I mean, I've been told that that's their intention, this is what I've been told. We'll see whether this turns out to be right. I've been told he's already fired.
Mm-hmm.
That they're just not going to make an announcement until the season's over. Texas says, would Les Miles be a possibility? You know, I think Les Miles has been a victim of age discrimination. I'm not sure why. I think that Les Miles can still coach. He would certainly make them a more physical football team. I don't think it would be a bad hire.
That would be a good hire.
I'm surprised that no one has added Les Miles at this point. Especially the way he left LSU, because he did it the right way. He said all the right things. He handled it in an incredibly classy manner. He thanked LSU, said it was the greatest years of his life, you know, all these kind of things.
Yep.
All the kinds of things that you want to do if you're still looking to be gainfully employed in the industry. I mean, man won a national championship. He made multiple programs better. He made Oklahoma State better. People think Mike Gundy built Oklahoma State. He didn't. Les Miles did. Les Miles is the guy who turned that program around and built that program. Gundy inherited riches. That's the fact. And yet people are ignorant to that. You know, I think that you could make a case for Les Miles at North Carolina. I've been asked about Lane Kiffin. Look, I think Lane Kiffin is going to do a great job the next time a Power 5 school gives him an opportunity. I just don't think it'll be North Carolina. I think North Carolina would be afraid of Lane Kiffin at this point. I think North Carolina wants something that they perceive as more sound and perhaps as more conservative. I think there's that. We'll see how it plays out. Lots to get to on the show. Before we get going, let me tell you about HealthDare. You know, HealthDare is not a weight loss program. Losing weight is a side effect, a side benefit to HealthDare. So if your goal is to look better in a bikini, HealthDare can certainly help you, but they're going to help you by getting you well from the inside out. HealthDare is a cellular health company. Your cells dehydrate over time. HealthDare can help reverse the process. If you're overweight, you have nasty, yellowy, visceral fat inside your body that clings to your organs and is suffocating you from the inside out. There's no pretty way for me to tell you this. That's just the fact of your existence. Healthier's goal is to melt that fat away to get you healthy and living again. And that's what they do. If you take the Healthier 90-Day Challenge in as little as 30 days, you can be on your way to getting off your blood pressure medicine, freeing yourself from diabetes medicine, giving up your CPAP machine, giving up your gout medicine. This is the change that Healthier can make in you. And as soon as you sign up, they're going to hook you up with a counselor who will be there for you to answer questions at any time of day. They're going to teach you how to shop for your food, the hidden dangers, and the way that companies hide. Really, the only two things you can't eat without there, you can even eat fast foods. The only two things you can't eat, you'll learn about it when you sign up for the program. 1-877-IDEARME, 1-877-432-7363, 1-877-432-7363. Call them today. You'll thank me later. Tell them I sent you. Quick break. Walt Diptula, Road Rage. We'll be back.
There's no one like you, and this fall, Pandora Jewelry lets you show that to the world with over 150 rings to choose from. Crafted from sterling silver, Pandora rose, or 14-karat gold, every hand-finished ring lets you play with possibility. Stack rings for impact, or wear single rings for every finger. Shop the newest rings from Pandora Jewelry now, and do see the wonderful. Pandora available at Turner's Jewelers at the Applewood Center Place. Visit us online at turnersjewelers.com.
If your business IT provider doesn't help with your phones or your security or isn't available nights or weekends, that's, well, half-assed. TSA Choice will manage all your technology needs. Network, communications, security, upgrades, repairs, training, all of it. And be on the job 24/7. Running a business is hard enough without IT support that's half-assed. TSA Choice. All your technology, all the time. TSAChoice.com.
Fort Knox Climate Storage of SC, now offering new lower prices. 10x10 dry storage units, $50 per month. 10x15 units, $60 per month. Roomy 10x20 units, $80 per month. Lowest price of the year on climate control storage units. Summer cleaning, store your stuff with confidence. 24/7 digital video monitoring, fence property and security lighting. Rent your unit online today at FortKnoxClimateStorage.com or call 502-0099.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
Do you want bigger biceps? Do you want to increase your bench by 58 pounds in 6 weeks? Protein is not enough. 75 to 90% of your protein is wasted and not used for muscle building. Optinas works genetically to redirect protein to your muscles. Clinical trials showed a 12-time increase in arm size and 3-time increase in lean body mass compared to a placebo. Experience Optinas. Go to upstatemuscle.com. That's upstatemuscle.com.
Does your South Carolina driver's license or ID have a gold star? If not, make the switch to a real ID today. You may be eligible to purchase your real ID online at scdmvonline.com or visit the SCDMV with all required documents to purchase your real ID before the lines grow. The deadline will be here before you know it, so make sure your ID is a real ID to board a plane, enter a federal building, or visit a military installation today. More information at scdmvonline.com.
Locally owned and operated for 55 years, Clark's Termite and Pest Control was founded by doing one thing, killing bugs, the crawling, flying, biting, digging, burrowing kind of bugs that you don't want in your home or business. Bugs are more active this time of year, and the Clark's is here to help you get rid of them. Clark's work is guaranteed, and they offer many different services to help fit your needs and budget. Visit clarkspest.com or call 864-233-BUGS. Again, that's clarkspest.com, 864-233-BUGS.
Have you ever had to travel out of the country only to find out at the last minute that the IRS has suspended your passport? Let the Green Law Firm deal with the IRS to restore your passport. It's this type of IRS interference and many others that David Green and his staff know how to properly approach and resolve on your behalf. Call the law firm that gives you peace of mind. Call the Green Law Firm at 271-7940 or online at greenlaw.legal.
Wants better than Walt Deptula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
Can we just bring it down a notch?
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Deptula, Road Rage. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. How about the next two callers? Our regular midweek guest, Eric McLean, followed by Gamecock Will.
There you go. We're getting both sides of the robber here.
My bookie's been in business for years. Their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses. So right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts in the industry. Seriously, just two. That's two business days. You know who's going to win, right? Lay down some cash. Win big today. Look, I'd only recommend a service to my listeners that's been great. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go an absolute breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 100% bonus. Are you kidding me? Use promo code RADIO, capital letters, RADIO, to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Let's go to Eric McLean. What's going on there, Eric?
Walt, I've been missing you, man. How are you?
Miss you too. It's good to have you back. Good to get back with you. We have some catching up to do, Eric. I scarcely know where to start, so I guess we'll start where every conversation about Clemson starts, the quarterback position. And Eric, is it a fair statement in your mind to suggest that Kelly Bryant won that game at Kyle Field?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it was great that both guys were able to get an opportunity and kind of show off and get some playing time that they've earned. But I think it was really clear that Kelly Bryant was the guy and kind of took over and really looked comfortable, as a veteran should, in a hostile environment. And, you know, we don't win that game without him.
Yeah, I think that was clear to me. And look, I think eventually it became clear to the coaching staff as well because, you know, after starting with the third possession in the second half, they made the decision to stick with Kelly Bryant. You know, Eric, it's a fine balance. I mean, there's not a lot to go on. The sort of newfangled belief that the quarterback position can be approached like any other position on the field in terms of substitution. You know, the history says no, but, you know, lots of what we once believed true aren't necessarily true today. To this point in the year, how do you see this? Where do the scales tip? Are they against the two quarterback system? Are they in favor of it? Or we just don't know enough yet, or you just don't want to answer me?
I favor it. And I know it's funny when you look at social media and read different things and you see it's almost 50-50 or maybe even 40-60 in the favor of the way that I'm picking. But I think it has worked well for us. I know that there's concerns for guys getting out of rhythm or guys not being able to get rhythm, mm-hmm. and the ball being thrown differently or the quarterback running differently. And you know what? Those guys still practice with these guys every single day. And that's what they do in practice. They rotate. So I think that it's not as much as an excuse, because they're used to it every single day, it happening, and they're practicing with it, and they're getting more and more comfortable with it. So I think as the season progresses, or I hope, you know, we'll even see it run more seamlessly. But I think it's a great thing to have two such stellar athletes
on your team who have performed very well so far, why not play both of them? Why would I want one of them just sitting on the sidelines holding a clipboard when they both have their strengths and weaknesses, but obviously want to play to their strengths? I think that it's been great to see them both out there and get an opportunity.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate to that. Because at the same time, you had just said to me moments before that you won the game out there because of Kelly Bryant, and you wouldn't have won it without Kelly Bryant. So is it really working? Or in the one game that it actually was tested, did it fail? I mean, because
if Trevor never goes in, we don't have that touchdown pass, and guess what? We lose the game. So I think that when you see who is the guy that's hot, who's the guy that is kind of taking over the game, which obviously we have a sample size of one so far, where that situation where who plays more, who comes out. So I think if this week Kelly goes in and either struggles or doesn't do what he hopes to do or perform to the standard, and Trevor does, I would expect Trevor to stay in for the remainder of the game as long as it was necessary. You know, if it's 50-0 or 50-13, you wouldn't want him in there. But that's how I would see it happening, and I like the fact that we have that ability.
Yeah, I'm not as sure as you yet. I think there are still potential problems with it. To my way of thinking, I think it almost got you beaten at A&M. The Furman game didn't matter. We could have put, you know, anybody here at quarterback, and Clemson was going to beat Furman eventually. You know, it could have been a 6'5", 300-pound quarterback, Eric McClain, against Furman.
Yeah.
And you were going to win that game. But the test of it was there at A&M. And I'm not as sure. I don't think it worked against A&M, to my mind. I think if you look at the preponderance of the evidence, and I think the proof of that is in the fact that once they went back to Kelly Bryant, they stayed with him. And I think that demonstrated. Right. But my concern, Eric, is that it is this sort of chemistry issue moving forward. And I understand what you're saying about practice. But, you know, neither of these guys are getting a ton of game reps. Now, maybe that keeps them fresh. Maybe it keeps them healthy. But, you know, at some point, you've got to sort of figure out who you are as a team. I mean, you know, most teams that have success have some sort of offensive identity. And when you're going back and forth between the two quarterbacks, I think it makes your offensive identity less clear. And right now, my concern about how that impacts the team is this team doesn't know how to run the ball.
Right. And I think to just counter what you were saying or just kind of address it, I think that, and Dabo said this isn't my opinion, or it is my opinion, but he supported it and said it, but I think that when Trevor was in the game, we were still calling and running plays for Kelly Bryant. I think that there has to be a distinctive, different game plan for each guy that's in there. And like you said, with the identity should change when Kelly's in versus when Trevor's in, because they're two different guys with two different skill sets. And I think we didn't do that, or we didn't try to do
that
enough.
Wait a minute. All right, let me cut you off there, because I want to hit on this point then. What about the notion that's been expressed repeatedly, though, by this staff over time, that the offense is the offense? I've always said they can say that all they want, but you're still going to cater to the skill set of a particular quarterback, because this offense has always been designed around the skill set of a particular quarterback. But what about the zone read elements and the run game elements of this offense that aren't functioning right now? Does it look to you like Clemson can run that stuff with Trevor Lawrence right now?
Yeah, I think, again, like you said, I think that it totally revolves around who's in there. And again, you want to say what you want to say, and we want to have that consistency and say that our offense is what it is, no matter who's in there. But that's where we ran in trouble with Cole Stout. We were trying to do things that Deshaun could do that Cole couldn't. And then when Chad left and we had a new offensive group come in there and call plays, you saw the success that he had in the Russell Athletic Bowl. So I totally think that Our offense is what it is, but it'll have a different look and a different feel sometimes when different guys are in. And just proof's in the pudding with the zone read and kind of running it. I think you're right, and I don't know if it's timing of the run calls or if it's predictable. I don't know what, but I think we need to figure it out because the quarterback being our most rush attempts, I don't think is a good thing, especially when we have such a dynamic running back like Etienne. He's the one that needs to be carrying the ball 15 times a game. But at the end of the day, I don't get paid to make those decisions.
Well, again, look, we've discussed Etienne forever, and we've been in agreement for all along that he needs to get more carries, and people talk about that's going to happen, and then it doesn't seem to happen. I mean, he's a threat to go the distance every time he touches it, and obviously Coach Sweeney indicated the other day that they need to get him more touches. And, you know, and he had Feaster as part of that conversation as well, but I think there's still a political element there. All I'm concerned about is with Etienne getting more touches. I'm not concerned about any of those other guys. No offense. I'm concerned with Etienne getting more touches. He's the guy. He's the number one. He's the guy who needs more touches. That I'm in complete agreement with. But in the zone read game, Eric, the quarterback run game is a big part of it. The mesh between those guys is a big part of it. And Kelly Bryant executes all that element way better than Trevor Lawrence does at this point.
Exactly, and I think that's clear, and that's kind of what I was talking about, how the game plan has to be a little different for different guys, maybe more of a vertical game when Trevor's in, more of the run zone read, obviously, when Kelly's in. And, you know, I know that we don't want to be predictable and to know that when Trevor's in, we're throwing it deep, or when Kelly's in, we're running the ball, but at the end of the day, you still got to stop it.
Well, and look, here's the thing. I mean, you know, Trevor throws a prettier ball. We'll acknowledge that, but Kelly's been as effective throwing the deep ball thus far as he is.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think you and I were very excited for him to have another offseason with Brandon Streeter to develop as a quarterback. I think we've seen that, and it's fun for guys who, like myself, who are fifth-year guys who trusted the process, who believed in the coaching, who took everything that they were given and kind of made a better situation out of it. So it's really exciting to see Kelly's development as a player and as a leader and really just changed his entire game. I still think there's a ways to go, but it's light years better than last year, I think.
All right, Eric, let's talk about something that isn't related to the quarterbacks, because I do think Clemson's in a unique situation because they have two guys who are really gifted and capable of running this offense. I'm not sure there's another team in America that's in the exact same situation. Georgia may be the most similar. So I think that's sort of a unique situation to Clemson. And obviously the plan is to play both guys. And I don't see that changing moving forward. The interior of the offensive line, Eric, I thought got worked at A&M. 34 was a guy I warned about last week, and I thought he posed all sorts of problems. How concerned are you?
Yeah, I was very.
How concerned are you about that, one, and what do you want to do to fix it?
Yeah, I don't know if concern's the right word. Obviously, it wasn't a performance that is the standard that the Clemson football team is expecting of their offensive line and former guys like myself. You know, we obviously, you play that position, so you watch it a little bit more closely than others. But it wasn't a good game. And I hope our guys can bounce back and figure out whatever was on film and why things happened. You hope it wasn't an effort thing. You hope it was just maybe they were confused on a call or something that's correctable. But I think there's no doubt we have to do better. Was really interested to see Kate in there. Had no clue that he was in contention for the running spot. I think he did pretty well for a guy who, you know, really got his first playing time in an environment like that. But, you know, I think we have to really lock down, get serious, and know that if you can't block in the middle, you're not going to have a very good offense.
Well, and from an offensive line perspective, Eric, I mean, I would think that one of the ways you want to try and rectify this is just commit to running it more.
Right. I think so. And I think that's kind of a mindset thing, honestly, for those guys up front, for those short yardage plays, for those clutch plays on the goal line. You just got to say, hey, you know what? We're going to get this, and no one in front of us is going to stop us. and maybe didn't see as much of that as we would like to. But again, offensive line is such a hard position to judge from the naked eye when you haven't been able to go and watch film, just because there's so many little idiosyncrasies that could happen or change that, you know, we have no idea what happened.
Right. But in terms of the running game as a whole, you know, it seemed that Clemson went away from it, abandoned it a little. Look, there's been a lot of talk all preseason and leading up to the season about the need for more explosive plays. And somehow it almost seems like Clemson needs to get back to some nuts and bolts here, Eric, get back to a physical running of the football. You know, this, even under Deshaun Watson, this team was its best when Deshaun Watson was running the football and when Clemson was running the ball. And I think they've gotten away from that a little bit. And whether it's the quarterback run game, which, of course, you know, the advantage to it, as you know, is it provides you an extra blocker. So I don't think you're ever going to see that part of it disappear. But clearly, Etienne needs to be a bigger factor. And clearly, the interior of that offensive line needs to play better than it did at A&M.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, with such a star-studded backfield, especially with Etienne kind of being your number one guy and a guy who you expect to carry the ball in double digits, not single digits, you know, he just needs more touches. And I think he has deserved it. He's earned it. We just got to get him the ball more because, you know, he's due for anytime he touches the ball, it could be a touchdown. So we just got to get the ball in our playmakers' hands. And I know we'll do that and hopefully assess and see, you know, how we can better do that. And again, I know the quarterbacks, we want to run them, but I don't feel good about him being our leading rusher when it comes to attempts, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want more balance in it. I mean, I think if you wound up with Etienne with 15 carries and Kelly Bryant with 10 yeah. carries, something like that, I think you're where you want to be, in my mind. All right, Eric.
Completely agree.
We're up against the break. Are you hanging with me or are you going to go?
Let's do another one. It's been too long.
Yeah, it has been. We haven't touched on that beautiful defensive performance yet.
We'll be back after this.
Exactly what he said. We'll be back after this. All right, Eric, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Before we go to break, let me tell you about my friends at Robinhood. You know, Robinhood's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. Look, they strive to make financial services work for everybody, not just the wealthy. You know, if you're younger, if you're a millennial, if you want to get involved and you want to experience it for yourself and you want to mess around a little bit without having to pay extravagant costs, this is the way to go. In fact, I don't know how many people have written me and talked about how they love Robinhood. I heard Hunter Renfro the other day talking about how he loved Robinhood. Simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented and easy to digest. Why? That is Robinhood. And let me tell you, what I love most about it is there's no cost, there's no commission fees. You know, look, other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks, keep all of your profits. That's how it works. And plus, it's incredibly easy to use. I am not exactly technologically savvy. Far from it. But even I get this. Easy to understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Robinhood's web platform also lets you view stock collections like the 100 most popular sectors like entertainment, social media, curated categories like female CEOs, analyst ratings of buy, hold, sell for every stock. This is Robinhood. You know, it lets you be you. It lets you delve in a little bit at a time. You can mess around. You can learn yourself. It provides you tools to be able to do it, and you don't have to pay any fees. Look, Robinhood has given my listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at waltd.robinhood.com. That's waltd.robinhood.com, and you will thank me later. Quick break. Back with Eric McClain. Will, I'm still going to get you in here by the end of the show, I hope. We'll be right back.
Join me, William Quackenbush, and Donnell Clark this Thursday night for the Tri-County High School Football Game of the Week presented by Granger Nissan. This week's game is Powdersville at Walhalla. Pregame begins at 7 o'clock right here on 105.5 The Roar.
Hey, Tiger fans. Your Clemson football team will host the Syracuse Orange on Saturday, September the 29th in Death Valley. This game is designated as Hall of Fame Day as 10 new inductees will be introduced at halftime. Tickets are still available and can be purchased right now on ClemsonTigers.com. While you're there, check out all the information you need to plan your visit to Clemson in the Game Day Guide. It's Clemson and Syracuse on Saturday, September the 29th. We'll see you there.
Rely on EnviroMulch. They supply quality landscape supplies for any outdoor project. They're special. Get double ground hardwood mulch for $1 off per yard. Ordered online with promo code WCCP. No other discounts apply. From your friends at EnviroMulch. Go Tigers!
When someone or something has been around for generations, you can put your trust in them. I'm Daniel Weber, fourth generation Clemson graduate and your local State Farm insurance agent in Clemson. State Farm has been in business for years, offering home, life, and auto insurance coverage that you can trust, like the trust I hope to earn as your State Farm agent. I'm Daniel Weber, Clemson class of 2011, and I'd like to talk with you about your insurance needs. Call me at 722-9083. We're here to help life go right.
When seconds count, a coach must have a team that can perform. The Tigers certainly proved that in the national championship game. You can expect the same from Priority One Security's local monitoring station. Break-ins happen in a matter of seconds. Well-trained, highly skilled operators' rapid response makes all the difference between a break-in and an attempted break-in. Trust in local monitoring from Priority One.
See us on the web at priority1security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Wait, you did not get a couple of quotes?
Should I? Did you get a couple of quotes?
Yes, replacing a garage door is a big deal.
At Built Right Garage Doors, we believe garage doors should demonstrate both durability and class. RCHI Accents Wood Tones garage doors are meticulously designed and manufactured using full-color digital imaging and insulated steel.
I'm calling Built Right.
Built Right 232-DOOR.
Built Right Garage Doors. Call 232-DOOR.
Some traditions should never change, like the Tigers entering Death Valley from the east end zone and touching Howard's Rock. Your local AgPro is also into traditions like our fall closeout sale on our best-selling John Deere tractor packages. Save up to an additional $3,900 and be equipped for anything. Visit agproco.com.
Hendrick Honda Easley, located in the heart of the upstate at the base of the majestic Blue Ridge Mountains, the perfect location to cruise in your new Honda while enjoying panoramic mountain views. Just a quick drive from anywhere in the upstate, Hendrick Honda Easley's got the charming small-town feel with hidden gems to see and explore along the way. Escape the everyday at HendrickHondaSC.com. Experience the Hendrick Honda difference in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway. Hendrick Honda Easley, the shining light on top of the hill.
Anderson County is a great place to live and work, play, and worship. Samantha Porter, the Anderson County environmental educator, reminds all residents to recycle used motor and cooking oil at Anderson County convenience centers. You can also bring your used oil and gas mixtures to the King David, Mance Jolly, and Whitefield sites. Tires may be recycled at the materials recovery facility in Belton. If you have any questions, please call 260-1001 in regard to recycling and proper waste disposal.
South Carolina homeowners, now is the perfect time to get a home equity line from State Credit Union. With an interest rate of just 2.9% APR for the first year, you can use the equity in your home to finance home improvements, higher education, or to consolidate your debt. And for a limited time, there are no closing costs. For more information, visit our website today at scscu.com/equity. State Credit Union, taking members where they want to go. Certain terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
This, what we do here, this is calculated, okay? We weigh the odds, we make a choice.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Yeah, let's fade it. I want to get back to Eric McClain and see if we get Will in here before the end, too. You know, I Jacob DeGrom lost again for the New York Mets. He's now 8-9. It was his 26th straight start, allowing three runs or less.
Good Good Lord.
That broke a 108-year-old major league record. He is clearly the best pitcher in baseball, but his team sucks so badly that if they're going to award him the Cy Young Award, they're going to have to do something that has never been done in history. You know what? Not only that, he's the Mets' best hitter. He's like five of his last seven at the plate. He's the Mets' best hitter.
He's the Ohtani of the National League.
But think about it. His ERA is 1.71. 26 consecutive times he has taken the hill, he has allowed three runs or less and broke a 108-year-old major league record. He's the Cy Young winner, people. Be smart enough to give it to him. Don't blame him because he plays on the crappiest team ever in the history of baseball.
The Mets do not deserve him.
No. Okay, Eric. Welcome back, Eric.
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's talk about the defense. I thought that, by the way, we're with Eric McClain, our usual Wednesday guest. I thought that the defensive line really got after Kellen Mond in the first half and sort of turned him into a pumpkin in the second quarter. And I thought the defensive front was really dominating at that point. To me, in the second half, I thought A&M made some minor adjustments, went to some more max protect looks, and the defensive line may have worn out a little bit after a while. You know, Clemson seemed to be chasing instead of containing, and Mond is very elusive. I mean, Mond's a unique guy athletically. Obviously, some concerns defensively with the passing yardage given up. The defense stoned the run game as well. Eye discipline, broken assignments. What did you say?
I think you just nailed it on the head pretty well. I think that there was a little bit of concern in the second half where guys were just running wide open and seemed to, people just missing assignments or, not being in the right place at the right time. Guys just wide open, and you're kind of scratching your head, and you're looking like, how is this happening? What's going on? So I don't know if it was fatigue, if they were confused because of play calling, or if they just didn't know what they happened to be doing at that particular time. But I think there's no doubt that not a performance that we're proud of overall. I think there was definitely shining lights, and guys had great games individually, but something we definitely have to correct. And then on the other hand, I think you completely have to give credit to Mond and the rest of that offense for being able to execute at such a high level. I think that he had probably had the best game of his career. Not sure if he'll be able to replicate that again this year. And some just outstanding catches were made just with timing and a little bit of luck, a little bit of skill. But, they had a great night and really, really executed at a high level.
Yeah, in Mond, you're dealing with a Colin Kaepernick type of athlete. In fact, that's who he reminded me of. He even looks a little like him body type wise. And, you deal with that type of athlete. I mean, sometimes those guys just make plays. They get on a roll, and that's what it seemed to be. It seemed like he just sort of hit a zone, and when he did, he was that much more elusive. When he got outside contain, he was incredibly dangerous. And look, some balls bounced their way a little bit too. I'm not as worried about most on this side of the equation, because I'm not sure how many other Kellen Monds Clemson's going to run into during the year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And again, some guys just have their night, and that was his night, and it was unfortunate it was against us. But again, I think there was one point in the first quarter, first half, where he missed six or seven throws in a row.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, he just went crazy. And like you said, got on a streak and just was feeling it. And, it was a really incredible performance to watch. But like you said, I'm not sure that we're going to run into a quarterback who is that elusive, that, good with his arm again the rest of the season. But hopefully, if we do, we're prepared and maybe just get after him a little bit better.
Hey, the good news is, the last couple of years, these type of games, Syracuse and Pittsburgh, resulted in losses. This time, at least, it resulted in a win. And so the corrections to be made can be made off a win, which is a lot better than making them off a loss.
100%. I hope that's exactly right. This was our Syracuse-Pitt game. And like you said, we got out with a W. But I think it's good to get tested on the road like that in front of a crazy, crazy crowd. So really proud of our guys for sneaking out of there with a W.
Were you there?
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. One of the coolest traditions I've ever seen.
Is that the best environment you've seen in college football?
I'll tell you, from a noise aspect, I was actually a little underwhelmed. I don't know if it was where I was sitting. We were kind of in a corner, kind of near where our band was. So it wasn't nearly as loud as Death Valley gets from where we were. But overall, just the mass of the stadium and the cadets and literally a whole wall of their stadium filled with students with towels and dances and cheers was really incredible to see.
You're not telling me, Eric, that all those decibel numbers they put up on the scoreboard are bogus, are you?
They may be juiced a little bit because the stadium wasn't making any noise and it said 110, and then when it was making noise, it went up to 112. So I don't know how that works.
Okay, all right. So you're thinking there's a little funny business in terms of those numbers. Eric, as an offensive line guy, a couple of the teams I did not like before the year, I did not like Florida State. We've been over this a million times. I think Eberle sucks. I think that offensive line sucks. I did not like Miami's offensive line. I did not like the fact that converted safety, 6'7", Rousseau, was torching that offensive line in the spring. I did not like Florida's offensive line. I did not like any of those teams or their offensive lines. I think that's been proven out, Eric. Are you stunned at how bad the offensive line play is at some of those schools, starting with Florida State?
I honestly am, you know, especially Florida State, because it's all the same guys. And I know they're bad, but you hope that they would eventually get better at some point. So you think of how, you know, well Clint Trickett, Daddy Trickett, had to have been doing just to keep those guys upright and alive, because if they play like they have been these last couple of weeks, they are not going to survive against us. Our guys are going to have a field day, and they might as well want to forfeit that game.
Oh, no. I mean, no, look, I like DeAndre Francois. I think he's talented. I've always thought so.
Yeah.
But he's not going to make it through the season. I mean, you know.
No, there's no chance.
They're going to wind up playing their third-string quarterback because these guys, you know, the thing, everybody acted like Virginia Tech was the 85 Bears. Now, look, I realize Virginia Tech uses some movement, jumps around a little bit, tries to confuse, and I think Foster did some of that, and the Walker kid's a nice player. But that defense, a whole new defense. I mean, those are all new guys. And the Clemson defensive line is going to crush them. I mean, just crush them. I feel sorry for DeAndre Francois. I actually think DeAndre should get hurt in practice that week, so he doesn't have to.
That might be the best bet for him.
I don't even know if he makes that game. I mean, he may be done long before then. I'm not even optimistic he survives Syracuse. I'm telling you, Eric, some of these offensive lines, and my guy Alec Eberle, he's gotten bigger and stronger, but the thing is, he moves like a three-legged pregnant water buffalo.
And they've got to fix that. And there's no way anyone's going to survive back there if they can't block anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of hard to believe. You know, when I picked Florida State fourth in the Atlantic before the year, people thought I was insane. I was insane. I picked them too high.
Hey, since you kind of brought up who do you think is going to come out on the other side?
Well, now Georgia Tech has some significant injuries, and so does Duke.
They're out. Yeah, they're
so
done.
Both difficult injuries, but I don't believe in Miami, and I don't really believe in Virginia Tech either. I mean, I'm not sure at this point. I think we need to see a few more games. I still believe this. I believed all along that Boston College was the biggest threat in the Atlantic to Clemson. I still think so. I think BC is way better than people understand at this point. I think they're a top 25 team.
I completely agree. And I think that running back, man, is just an absolute stud. He's my dark horse for kind of the Heisman race. But overall, the ACC is not helping us out with our strength of schedule. It just keeps going lower and lower. And no, it has nothing to do, nothing that we can do about it.
Yeah, but that's why that A&M game was so important to win, because had you lost that game with the strength of schedule, the SEC and everybody who supports that league, they would use it against you, you know, even as is. They're going to use comparative scores against you. You know, if an Alabama blows out A&M by 30, they're going to say, oh, look, you know, Clemson needed the last second. Well, you know, it's different. But the most important thing was you came away with a win. All right, Eric. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. We'll see you.
Thank you. Let me tell you about First Class Haul. TALT's an acronym for Honda, Acura, Lexus, Toyota. Nobody does it better. It's all they do. Listen, you want to take your car or truck to a place where they drive your vehicle. See, they know your vehicle because they drive them, and then they work on them all day, and then they drive them home at night and drive them back to work the next day. That's First Class Haul. And Haul is a second location now in Anderson, 4135 Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Here's the number, 864-260-9600. 864-260-9600. And here are your specials. Right now, 32-point back-to-school safety inspection. Regularly $149.95, now $99.95. $100 off any timing belt package, $10 to $30 off of labor, $15 off Mobil 1 full synthetic oil change, $20 off brake jobs, $38.95 for Hunter Road Force tire rotation. It's all at First Class Haul. Get there. I'll see you tomorrow.
Keeping our goal line safe.